All right. This is another episode of Mountain Man Nutrition, and I'm super excited and happy and giggling because I love this podcast I just did with Susan and David. David has reversed his insulin resistance, has lost over 60 pounds, is on a great healing journey, and Susan has been on keto for over a year, and she is really enjoying the lifestyle and working out and into fitness, and it's helped her tremendously. As a stay-at-home mom, she has created a keto coaching business for herself because of the success that she's had, and she just really, truly want to benefit other people and help other people go down this route. I love our conversation because it's a keto couple with a keto family, three kids, and we talk about budget and feeding the kids and working and food prep and a lot of support within the family and how you slowly but surely change things for the whole family to get the results that you want. And it's a really cool conversation. So if you're if you have a family out there, whether you're getting support as a family member or it's a slower process and you're the only one in the whole family that's trying a healing journey or trying to reverse their type 2 diabetes, this podcast is for you. So have a listen. I really enjoyed recording it, and good wishes to y'all. I hope you like it. Right on. Welcome to one more episode of Mountain Man Nutrition, coming to you from Denver, Colorado. I have two super cool guests today. This is the first time I've had two guests, and also the first time I've had people sitting right in front of me for the Mountain Man Nutrition podcast. We have Susan and David here in the office doing the podcast, and Susan is a keto coach. She coaches people through the ketogenic diet, and David tells her to do it more because they want to help more people. They have a keto family, and I wanted to both here to talk about family issues and how it is to coach people through family issues. So welcome to the podcast, David and Susan.
Oh, thank you so much, Jeffrey. We're so excited to be here in your awesome office. We can feel the good vibes in here. This is fantastic.
Yes, thanks for having us. I'm excited to spread our knowledge.
Right on. Yeah, this whole podcast is really designed around benefiting people with especially insulin resistance, type 2 diabetes, these type of things, but also gut issues and many other autoimmune diseases. I work with people, hormones, all kinds of stuff, and just to benefit as many people possible. So I like to have different people on all the time, and I thought you guys would be a great addition to teaching people and helping people, because the ketogenic diet is a tool that I use to reverse type 2 diabetes. So let's go right into the story. How did you guys meet? Let's hear the romance story.
Well, I'll start it and then I'll make Dave chime in here and there to make sure I remember it correctly. We just celebrated our 15-year wedding anniversary and we met 16 years ago.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. We met when I was 19. And Dave, how old were you?
I believe it was 27, right?
Cradle robber.
Yes, exactly. So we actually rented apartments in the same apartment building. And one time I parked in Dave's parking spot.
Oh, not yes. Nice at all.
Well, I asked him, I said, hey, he was outside on his porch. I said, hey, can I park here? And what did you say?
First of all,
this is going to be good.
Me and my buddy had the front apartment, which was the best apartment. We had the porch, which was the beer drinking porch. And so she saw us there all the time. And she knew it was my parking spot. And so she pulled in while we were on the porch drinking. And she got out of the car. And I said to her, I said, hey, it's my parking spot. And I said, it's cool if you park there, but you need to take me out for ice cream later tonight.
Awesome.
Yes. And so from my perspective, I just heard him say it was cool. I was in a hurry, which is why I parked there, and I didn't hear the rest. So I just went up to my apartment. And then a little while later, somebody knocked on my door. It was Dave. And he was like, hey, are you ready to go for ice cream? And I'm like, what? But I was there. I was living there alone. I didn't know anybody in the area. And my best friend was on the phone with me at the time. She's like, go. Go out to ice cream with this guy. Go, go. So we got in his Jeep. He had this really cool Jeep Wrangler. And he started to go the opposite direction as ice cream, as the ice cream place. So in my head, I'm like, you're such an idiot. I can't believe you got in a car with a strange man. I thought he was going to rape and kill me and leave me in a ditch. But thankfully,
this was the main drag of our little town. And I was just going on a little cruise in my awesome red Jeep.
Yeah.
And then I was going to end up at the ice cream.
Yes.
Awesome. So, what town was this? Where were you guys living back?
We were living in Oswego, New York, and that's where Dave's from. I just started going. I was going to college there for business school for a little bit, and yeah, it ended up good. By the end of the night, we'd had our ice cream. This is obviously beer ice cream. This is when we were building our insulin resistance.
Beer and ice cream, man. That's the combination we're probably drinking now, right?
Yeah, definitely not. No, I can't even remember the last time we've had either, but. But yeah, yeah. And then by the end of the night, we clicked and we were married a year later.
Awesome. So, yeah. Well, it's, obviously, it worked out because you're 16 years into the ballgame now. So
yeah,
congratulations.
Yeah.
So going through the journey, how did you find, did you find fitness or keto first?
I found fitness forever ago. I've always been into fitness. I started weightlifting when I was 14. I was really passionate about it. I just never, because I unknowingly was on the wrong, you know, diet, even though I thought I was doing all the right things, I just never saw the, I never got to be lean. You know how when you build in bodybuilding and then you cut, I would try to cut and it just wouldn't work for me. So eventually I definitely got frustrated. I've always loved fitness running. I was doing some half marathons and I like the longer distance running. But I was never really healthy, you know? So it was like, I was doing all these things and it didn't really, in the end, it didn't really work.
It's very popular to just say, and I think I've said this with every fitness person that's, on this podcast, is you can't, work out of a bad diet. You can't get yourself healthy when you get out of a bad diet. So,
yeah, no, I just was listening to another book and it's so true. It's like your diet is Batman and exercise is Robin. Like there's a reason why Batman gets all the credit. Like, and Robin's just great. Like, hey, I'm helping on the side.
Great analogy.
Well, one thing I'll speak for Susan is that, she worked incredibly hard when she worked out. Like she said, marathons, that, she wouldn't train for 5Ks and 10K.
Yeah, 10Ks. All of the Ks.
And then just, she would just wake up one Saturday morning to do it. But both of us were incredible stress eaters. And we constantly fell back on ice cream, beer, cookies. And so Susan would, put in hours of working out all week, but then hammer, get stressed out and hammer like a box of cookies. So that was that cycle for years for us.
Just so much, like just the addiction level. I'm definitely
sugar addiction, carb addiction. And there's certainly a link to that addiction to stress levels and, just being emotionally upset over anything and then going right for food. It's a pathway.
It's been like my whole life. So yeah, absolutely. And then keto came around, I can't even remember. It's well over 2 years ago. One of my girlfriends told me about it and I was like, oh my gosh, that's like the opposite of everything we've learned. That's gotta be wrong. And then I watched her kind of figure it out a little bit. She still didn't have super success with it right away. I started doing my own research and I went on and off of it for a year. Continually, I'm just like a research junkie. Like I want to read and listen to everything.
I get it.
Yeah, exactly. And then it's been over a year now that I've been really consistent. So, and then Dave followed along in my footsteps.
Dave, how come you didn't jump on board right off the bat? And what was going on with your diet?
Well, One thing I before I knew anything about this keto diet, I knew that when Susan didn't have sugar, she was angry. So when she messaged me and said, I'm going to quit sugar, I was like, please do not quit sugar.
I have a screenshot of it. But, I saved it. Yeah.
You know, but it's totally changed our lives. I mean, I watched her go into, I believe it was that you said, I'm going to do this for 30 days and commit to it. And then it all of a sudden it turned to 100 days and everything about her lifestyle changed. You know, I was pushing almost 300 pounds, a healthy 300 pounds, but I was still, you know, my blood pressure was going up. My sugar was going to a bad place. I had a CPAP machine. So I started focusing on a low carb diet, which did help, you know, instead of having all the breakfast sandwiches with the bagels in the morning, I would just, I started out with Quest bars and just coffee. And then I would have like a low carb lunch. And I did notice some results, but I was convinced after your 200 days or so that if I'm going to do it, I got to jump all in. And since then, I've lost close to 65 pounds. No more CPAP machine, no blood pressure medicine. My A1C is right where it needs to be, and that's changed my life.
That's absolutely awesome. So, walking us through that, I really like the way that you transitioned into it. You know, like a lot of people make the mistake, and some people can do it, but some people cannot. Is they jump right into keto, like full blown, no sugar, like 20 grams of carbs right off the bat. You know, and this can be a real big problem for a lot of people because a lot of people's livers are congested and they can't produce the ketones and they can't detox all that garbage they've been eating for so long. Their gallbladders, because they've been on low fat everything forever, gallbladder is like congested, super thick bile, doesn't work really well. And you eat a bunch of fat and you cannot digest it because your bile is so thick and viscous, it can't even squeeze out of your gallbladder. Or your liver's not even producing gallbladder very well. And then you got dysbiosis in your gut, which causes issues, not enough hydrochloric acid because you've been eating a lot of, you know, really stress eating and eating really fast. And so there's all these issues that people have. And I've seen a million people go on the diet for a week, 30 days, 60 days and go, this doesn't work, I quit. Mm-hmm. You know, because they jump full blast. And if you taper into it, just like you did, and go a little bit low carb, eat some sweet potato at night, you know, and kind of gradually move into it and add these healthy fats, add these leafy green vegetables, add this kind of really high nutrient dense foods first, and then let the other crap go away, you just naturally heal yourself on a higher level instead of going crazy, getting right into it, and then causing all kinds of problems for yourself. So I really coach people to do exactly what you did, is to ease into it.
Yeah, I definitely think it wouldn't have worked for me any other way. You know, I had to kind of find my way. And if, you know, if I was like, I'm not going to have pizza for here on out, I would have fought it tooth and nail. So it definitely, I agree, is the best path.
Right on. So right now, what do you? What's a typical day of eating for the family for you guys?
Well, Dave and I really enjoy a fatty coffee in the morning, and we've been doing that for a while. We just have coffee with butter and cream, and then we do different lunches. I like to lunch prep a lot for us. Like I'll make a keto casserole or something. Like we have soup, keto soup. And so a lot of times we'll both have the same thing. He has it at work. I have it at home. And then for dinner, I've been really enjoying making dinner. I've never cooked. I'm not like you are a professional cook by any means. I did not learn how to cook in my family. There was not a lot of that. So I've learned a lot about cooking.
I love two things you just said. Number one, soup is one of the most overlooked keto food there is, right? And because my family's originally from Russia, my wife is Siberian, and I've talked a lot about it. They eat soup every single day for lunch. I mean, there's just soup everywhere. So I had to learn to adapt soup and make fatty soups and good, healthy, low-carb fatty soups. And it is easy. I mean, everything from poaching eggs into your soup to adding butter. Yeah. Bone broth. Yeah. And what's really popular in Russia, too, is they add sour cream to a ton of soups, which is, if you can handle dairy, is a great way to add fat to your soup.
Yep. So we do that a lot. And then dinner is, just to keep it simple, is usually a meat and a vegetable.
Yep. You know? Awesome. You also said that you enjoy cooking now.
I do.
How many people have you talked to that got on this keto diet and became foodies? Like,
Everybody
is like, well, I just love cooking now and I hated it before, you know, and it really develops people's cooking abilities and to love cooking and having fun because the food is so delicious.
It's just good. And I was taught my whole life to, you know, not use butter or salt. And now you use a lot of it. You're like, oh, I need to add more butter and salt. So, but we do a lot of eggs and bacon and stuff like that too.
Right. And you guys have three kids. Yeah,
we do.
So I only have two. So you guys are really have to watch it. Are your kids keto or how do you manage their diets?
Yeah. So for the kids, it's hard. It's so hard because there's definitely just, I'll speak for me and then you can speak for you too. But, you know, especially being a research junkie and knowing what I know, it is really hard to let them find their own way in this world. And I think any parent can, you know, relate to that because you really want to control them. You love them so much. And I see what, you know, I remember what I did when I was their age and I can compare the two and say that they're doing a lot better than I was then. But no, we don't do keto in our house. We really believe strongly that more is caught than is taught.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen it in action. We have a 13-year-old. So I know we haven't made it all the way, but 13, I feel like he's almost 14. So we've got 13, 10, and almost 8. So really, you know, I need them to make their own choices. I don't want to create any, food issues with them. The world is going to do that to them.
It's better you just lead by example.
Exactly. So we lead by example. We have good stuff available to them. But I'll let Dave take the reins on that.
Yeah, no, it's definitely changed all three of their lives. Our sugar junkie, our oldest, he loves soda and loves, you know, anything that he can get that has, you know, some kind of color and crunch and candy wise. But he's backed off the regular sodas. He's drinking the Zevias now and he's making an effort to eat more cheeses. And we're forcing him. He doesn't like chicken or steak. Sometimes he'll have some chicken, but he's the difficult one. The other two are more on par, especially our middle child. He was almost for a while. He did about a month of straight keto, and he actually lost a lot of sugar weight that he put on during school. So I think you're right. I think it's a slow process, and I think they're going to get there.
Yeah, I did the same thing because I was the only one on the ketogenic diet or even low carb diet at first because my wife's a sugar monster, or she was. That's I have to say she was because over the last year and a half or so, even my daughter have slowly come on board, and it's a lot of to do with I do most of the cooking anyway and most of the shopping. So when we first started, actually, she was hiding cookies and croissants and different crap in the closet, you know, which when I first started, that was dangerous if I found that for me because I would eat it, right? Because I was, you know, really struggling at first, but they both came along and, you know, there's no hidden foods anymore. And we used to have Gretschka, which is buckwheat, almost on the stove every single day, you know, which is, very high carbohydrate grain. There's also rice in our house all the time back then. Of course, breads, Ayana loves pasta. So all that stuff now is non-existent. You know, every now and again, there may be a little bit of rice or a little bit of potato, but, you know, we're talking twice a month, maybe the max. And so they've really slowly but surely, from me not buying it and then my wife to stop buying it when I didn't buy it, you know, she used to go out and get a couple things, but now she doesn't. And it's just really a slow, good process. And of course, you know, Ayanna and Max, my son, even want ice cream every now and again, and they get it, you know, or if we're at a restaurant and they want tater tots, you know, every now and again, it's okay. I'm not a Nazi about it. And my wife helps me not be a Nazi. You know, we have a good balance there when it's come to raising kids. And it is about, I think, leading by example and just trying to do the best you can with them. Yeah.
Yeah. And no, it is really hard. And it's just hearing you say that makes me realize, like, we used to have a rice or a pasta every single night for them as an option on the side. And I can't remember the last time I bought pasta. I mean, we do have the Annie's mac and cheese for here and there, but It's not a lot.
It helps a lot when you control the grocery shopping, right? Because if it's not in the house, you don't eat it. And the kids, you know, they have to kind of go with what's...
Well, and we have a 13-year-old that can walk to the store by himself, has his own allowance. And so We do, you know, there's only so much I have control over with that. And I have to let a lot of that go. But, it's hard as a parent. It's hard to know. We've also been talking a lot about, meal timing. I think that's a really important thing because a lot of times, you know, you're used to kids being grazers and just having those three meals a day and saying, listen, you can eat whatever you want during those three times, but not all day long. I think that that little thing, like going back to, you know, my great grandmother's, Dave's grandmother's generation.
you don't let her do that to you.
Would be, you know, that they were right. They were absolutely right. We shouldn't be grazing all day long. And that is terrible for our blood sugar.
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of the best ways to reverse your insulin resistance is intermittent fasting, where you only eat two meals. Even some people can handle one meal a day, where you're 14 to 17 hours throughout the day you're not eating, and the less you eat, times you eat, the less times your blood sugar spikes, which the less times your insulin spikes, and that really really helps. Lower your blood sugar overall and reverses your insulin resistance. And it's another tool that I use, although I never use it until somebody's digestion is right on, their fats are being digested completely, they're completely fat adapted, and they're ready. And it's almost a natural process to start skipping breakfast, you know, and then to like not get hungry till 11, 12, 1, 2 o'clock. And I utilize it more as a natural process. I warn people, hey, this is going to start happening. And when it does, let me know, because this is when we're going to implement it on purpose. And it's a great tool. You guys just drink the fatty coffee. Mostly skip breakfast?
Yeah, no, it's been huge for me, especially in the last 6 months. I think that's been my sweet spot, where I've stopped eating breakfast and just had my coffee and feeling full with that fatty coffee. And, you know, I'm consistently losing 1, 2, 3 pounds a week. And it's been like that. And I don't feel the urge to, I feel satisfied. I'll have a small keto lunch and then I'm ready for a nice dinner and that's it. So it's worked well.
Right on. Yeah. I sometimes go back and forth. Like sometimes because I'm up at 5 a.m. a lot with a 2-year-old, sometimes at 9 o'clock in the morning, I'm just hungry and I have bacon and eggs, you know, and I have avocado or something. And then sometimes I'm not hungry till 2. So, one of the main points is just eat when you're hungry. If you're not hungry, don't eat. You know, if you get a little hungry and then you drink a nice big glass of water, and a lot of times you're thirsty and you're not hungry, you just thought you were hungry. Or, wow, I'm hungry. Well, wait a minute. Am I really hungry, or am I just mentally saying that I'm hungry because I'm bored or I'm nervous or something like that? Dave, do you have times like that? And how do you handle that? Those sugar cravings or?
Yeah, no, I have a macadamias. I love peanut butter. I call myself a peanut butter slut.
That's awesome.
those macadamias, just not even, you know, Susan had me measuring out a cup, and I don't like to measure. So I got used to the feeling of the weight of how many I should eat.
It was a quarter of a cup.
And I really did it. I just needed that salty, you know, crunch, and that would kind of get me through.
Yeah, I love it. Nuts are some people give a bad rap. Even the keto people give a bad rap to nuts because of the carbohydrates that are in them. But for me, the good healthy fats, the vitamins and minerals that are in nuts, it's worth the carbohydrate hit. You know, if you're just tracking and you know where you're at every day, and it's great to have. Like, some people don't even like cashews. Like, cashews are super high in fat. You know, walnuts are super high in fat, as well as other nutrients. Like cashews, if you eat a handful of cashews a day, your serotonin levels, your happy drug levels, are off the chain. You know, and a lot of people that are on like antidepressants and stuff, they could easily talk to your doctor, but easily get off those by adding cashews to their diet. Like, it's something very simple like that because of the nutrients in them. You know, and of course, there's other foods I would recommend adding as well. But, you know, I just made today bacon, maple, walnut butter, a couple jars of that. Amazing. It was super. I was like, fall, rainy, had a bunch of walnuts. I'm like, I'm doing this. So
we do. Yeah, we do good. Like pecans and we'll put that together and like bake it up a little bit with some butter sometimes.
You did pecans with bacon.
That was really good.
Off the chain. Yeah.
It's hard though, because even for me, after over a year of being totally fat adapted, I still have to watch. Like, it's easier for him to do a portion size than it is for me.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes when I make nuts like fancy like that, I have to be like, okay, this is my bit. You take the rest away to work. So I still have to be careful like that. So Dave is a moderator and I'm an abstainer.
Uh-huh.
So for me, it's just better not to have any at all.
Right.
For Dave as a moderator, it's more like every here and there, he will indulge in what he likes and then he's fine.
Yeah.
So, and typically when he does that, I'm so impressed with how he does it, because he'll just fast afterwards and mm-hmm. his body goes right back.
Right on. So how do you guys feel about, because I experiment a little bit, but I find it's like a slippery slope for me when we're talking about like cheesecakes, keto style, or keto bread, or keto biscuits, or keto cookies. Do you guys handle those well? Do you digest them well? Does it trigger you to want other stuff? How about you?
First, do you want me to go? It is definitely a trigger for me. Yeah, I have to be very careful, for sure. Yeah.
I've found that that they just make me feel really heavy. So I tried. I was on the, you know, the search for the ultimate keto pizza, and I just realized every time I tried, I would just not feel well. So I actually don't try to fill that hole with anything, and I found that it's just better. And if I need that pizza. That pizza itch, I'll just eat, you know, Susan's been making a pizza casserole that's just sausage and pepperoni and peppers and cheese and some of that good keto sauce, and it just crisps on the top, and I call it a Chuck E. Cheese bomb.
Right on, that's a great idea.
Yeah, that's been one of my most popular. Not, you know, I usually take a bunch of stuff from the internet and make my own spin on it. So I don't really create my own recipes by any means.
Well, I think that's a great way to do it, is you get a base recipe, and if you're a decent cook, you can spin anything, right? You just do it the way you like it.
Yeah, make it how we want it. Make sure it's the right carbs and fat content, because that is one thing that I like about that's probably why I like keto cooking better, is because I can put you know, some numbers to it, and I like doing that. Like, right now I have a pen and paper, like, I like to track things. Dave is the opposite.
Right. We met at the coffee shop the other day and she's taking notes.
I'm obsessed with note taking.
Well, just to end that subject, if I make keto bread, I eat like 3/4 of the loaf and nobody else hardly gets any, just because it's a trigger. I just like, I can't stop eating it. It's a, you know, even though it's not that bad to eat, it's just like I overeat on it and I go back and snack on it. So I know that it's not a good idea to put these things, you know, to make these kind of things very often.
I totally agree. I think they're very necessary. Especially when people are transitioning, or like even if you've been in keto for a while and you just really need something, there's definitely been times in my life or in this past year where I've needed that. Like, I've made the keto cheesecake. I like bringing them places, although you have to be careful because if people are used to having sugar and not erythritol. You got to make sure I cut the erythritol in half.
You have to almost because it's sort of so sweet.
It's so sweet. Yeah, especially when you're not used to sweet things. But yeah. And I also like to show people that, look, you can have all these things because it's a first blocker for a lot of times for people. It's like, oh, well, I can't have all my favorite things. Well, you can. And then the longer you are in ketosis and fat adapted, the less you want them. So, yeah, I do think they're an important part of the process. For me, what has worked really well is fat bombs, single serving fat bombs, and I can make it any kind of flavor I would ever want. That usually does the trick in a way better manner.
Right on. Yeah, fat bombs work. And actually, I plan on taking my keto brick, one of them, and melting it down and reportioning it to like smaller snack size. Because I've never eaten a whole one. Is 1,000 calories and they're so super dense. I get halfway through it and I'm stuffed. So it's way too much for me. So, but my Max loved to eat them. He ate one today, like half a bar. they're kiddo approved, as Robert Sykes would say. But I want to melt them down and like portion them out. Then I can have them for a snack.
Yeah.
And then even the kids can take them for lunch because Ayanna really always wants like a little chocolate snack or something like that. And it's difficult to find a healthy one that the kids can take instead of like a garbage bar that is just, you know, fake sugar that's almost real sugar or, you know, all this
kids crap. Kids' school snacks are the hardest because naturally I would just want to do nuts and they can't have nuts in schools. And that's a really good idea, the keto brick for that.
Yeah. So speaking of the next thing I want to talk about, it's super important for families is budget. So, like, I shop at 5 different places, you know, not all in one day, of course, but I jump around, I look at the ads, I see what's on sale, I know where I get my eggs. I know right now, like, 100% grass-fed ground beef is like $2.50 a pound or something, or it's $3.50 a pound, actually, at Sprouts. Like, that price is unheard of, so I'm stocking up, and it's been on sale like that all month, so it's crazy. But I know, so I can save on that. Instead of paying $6 to $9 a pound, I'm going for that deal. So I'm shopping there a lot. But I look at everything and find out where I want to go, when I want to go there. How do you guys budget the ketogenic diet? Which, if you're eating, you know, a little more high quality, what are you guys doing?
So that is definitely my department because I am mostly stay-at-home mom to the 3 kids and budget is always tight because, you know, one income for the most part besides our keto circle coaching business. But yeah, so I do similar to what you do and I try to shop all the ads and things like that. And then I just try to keep it really simple and not do extras. That makes the biggest difference for me. I don't know about you, but sometimes if something is on sale, I might overbuy because I'm like, oh, this price is so good. I know in the beginning of keto, there was definitely things that I thought I needed that were more costly.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the best way to spend your money is Kerrygold butter.
Right.
The best quality meats you can. I know for myself, I feel the best when I eat red meat. So I try to make sure we always have as much red meat as possible. I'll be honest, though, our budget does not always afford us to do organic. We try our best, but it just doesn't. We're very lucky. My dad, I'm originally from Anchorage, Alaska, and my dad still fishes every year. So he sends us, you know, the best, like you just can't get salmon and halibut like that. Like he literally caught it.
I'm super excited because she brought me a little gift today of some salmon and we're salmon fans. My wife, I'm hoping I get some of it because my wife's super.
Well, I can always bring you more. he just sends me a certain amount, but I try to budget it out.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So yeah, I think what's hard for me is I love steak.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll get a bunch of steak and I'll freeze it up. I do the sous vide because I'm not a great cook. So that I cannot mess up. Right. I just do the sous vide during the day, which if you guys don't know, you just boil it. It's basically, or not even boil it. It's cooking it in water for a long period of time. And then you just sear it on the with cast iron pan real quick and it's done. So I wish our budget would afford us more steak.
I don't eat a whole lot of steak just because it doesn't go over as easy with the family and it is expensive.
Yeah.
So exactly. We do plenty of ground beef because it's 80-20 most of the time, which is
perfect ratio. We do a lot of sausages, things like that. A little bit of chicken. We try to get organic all the time, but never like chicken breast, really. It's always thighs and legs. And then we do a lot of roasts, like the fatty pieces of meat, the necks, the backs, the butts, the things that take 4 or 5 hours to cook, because they have the most flavor and the most fat content, you know. So I really like those long, slow braises, or to, you know, cook them so long they just shred, you know, and do the pulled pork or pulled beef or what have you, and different recipes with that.
My blood glucose level just went up. We'll come over anytime for dinner, Jeffrey. That sounds amazing.
Awesome. You guys are welcome over anytime. It's so nice to have a keto community here, and I hope we can build it, because it is a grassroots, help each other out community that I love. You know, even some of these more popular keto people out there that are super famous, you know, we've all dialogued with, and they're super open. You just have to reach out and talk to them. And I really like to get that going here in Denver, because I've only been here less than 2 years, or just right about 2 years in October now.
Yeah, same with us. We're fairly new to the area. And I think you're absolutely right. What I have seen from all the keto community so far, you know, near and far, because it's mostly been online in my life, is just everybody is just really, really authentic, really wants to help others. Mm-hmm. That's really been my experience.
Yep. Same thing with the nutritional therapy. Other practitioners out there that I've met are super open to sharing what they have and their knowledge and things like that. So I really enjoy that. So, Susan, let's talk about your coaching.
Okay.
So what inspired you to start doing keto coaching?
Well, I just felt so great. I knew all the hurdles that I had to get to figure out what was, you know, I'm going to use air quotes, my keto, because I think everybody's version of the ketogenic diet is so different.
And it should be.
Exactly, because we're all so different. Absolutely.
Yeah,
so,
we say we're bio-individuals.
Yes, that's a good stuff. It was in my head somewhere, but you had it. Yeah, bio-individual. Yeah, we're all really different. And the ketogenic diet isn't necessarily for everybody anyway. But, you know, in everything that I learned and then Dave's experience, there was a few people in my life that reached out to me, and I just helped them find their own way.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really, really rewarding. And as a stay-at-home mom, there's a lot of, most of your life is just hoping that you're doing the right thing. You know, I could read a million mom parenting books, and I have, and you put it all into play, and you really don't, it's a crapshoot. You know, you get little tiny glimpses of success, and that's about it. So I wanted, you know, some more success, I guess, in my life. I'm like, here, you do the ketogenic diet and I will track your success, because it'll make me feel better. So yeah, I really enjoyed helping other people. And then they told people, and then I was like, okay. What I also found is that the people that I helped in the beginning without charging them anything for free, because mm-hmm. I thought that would just be what I would do, they didn't do as well as the people that paid money.
Yeah, that's 100% true. The people, if you give them something for free, they don't appreciate it. They don't take it as seriously. It's kind of a hee-ho thing for them. Whereas if they're paying money and they're paying for your service, and number one, you're valuable. Like, your knowledge is valuable. I know as a nutritional therapist, other people's prices are all up and down the board. And this is something I don't compromise on, because I know my time is valuable, my knowledge is valuable, and my practical experience is valuable. So I charge people what I charge them, and that's the ballgame.
I really respect that. And I think for me and my, you know, my life, it, for some reason, that can be difficult. It can be difficult to be like, I'm worth that amount. So I really respect that. And I love that you said that out loud and you continue to say that, because people will put more in.
Yeah, absolutely.
For sure.
If they're paying for it, they you know, take care of it.
Although Dave got it for free and he's doing great. I'm just kidding. He has to pay every day.
When you're married, there's nothing for free.
What do you think about that, Dave?
No comment.
Oh, that was a safe one.
How are you supporting the keto coaching? Do you guys talk about it? All the time.
You know, and she'll bounce things off me about, certain path she's going to handle with certain people. And you know, you'll see we were originally we were Jamflower Live, and we changed our name to Keto Circle, and we just made it a lifestyle. And I think that really talked to people, because they could see that, you know, it wasn't just her telling me what to do. It was us having fun, going through this whole journey. And you know, she'll bring me on a call or, you know, in person when she's meeting a client, and I'll be able to share my experiences, and that may help that certain person.
That's right. So, Dave, what's your, because Susan has the coaching game, what's your end game? Do you have any future plans with this ketogenic diet? You're just going to keep cruising, lose another 100 pounds, or
oh my God,
become a bodybuilder? What's grow your hair back? What's going on with you?
Oh, you hit the nail on the head there.
He shaves his head.
If keto made your hair grow back, I'd be 5 years in already. But no, my goal, you know, I don't really have a goal weight. I think I'll know when I get there. But right now, I have more energy. I feel really excited. I feel like I have more to do. I used to race bicycles. I raced BMX bikes, and then I raced mountain bikes. And moving to the land of mountain biking, I'm excited to get back into it. And, you know, instead of just cruising around the sidewalks of the family, I want to do 10 miles in the mountains and get done and feel great and not feel like I'm sore and hungover for 5 days. So I'm excited for that.
Right on. That's a great great goal to look forward to. Of course, you got to get through the winter, yeah?
Yeah.
Into next spring.
These winters are easy.
They are easy. You know, it snows, and then 3 days later, it's sunshiny again for 2 weeks. And then it snows, and it's sunshiny for 2 weeks. Go through a Siberian winter, you know, by the end of the winter, you're the same snows there that fell, you know, in September, and it's all black. So it's freezing.
I know. I feel the same. That sounds like Alaska. So,
And Central New York.
So we're all like, this is fantastic.
This is great winter.
Yeah. What winter?
So, Susan, what's your end game for the keto coaching, or what's your future plans?
So I want to just keep learning and learning. I feel like because it's become so popular right now, there's so many more studies going on. I just want to keep learning, keep reading, keep listening to podcasts. I do it every day, and it really keeps me going. For myself personally, I don't know about more weight loss. I would really like to continue to gain muscle. I've been bodybuilding for almost a year again now, which is really exciting because I get to see the work I've done, whereas before it was covered in a layer of fat. I think about now when I go to work out, I prefer to work out fasted. Before, when I went to work out, I had to make sure that I ate and drank just enough, and it just had to be so perfect. And with the ketogenic diet, it's so much easier just to jump in and do what you need to do. It really improves my mental health. As far as the coaching, just really working with more and more people to help them make this part of their life. What I do is I really individualize it to like personality traits. So I want it to be something that they can keep long after I'm gone.
Right
on. So not something that they can just do with me for, you know, a month or whatever, but something that fits the way they live their life and the way that their brain works and the way that they develop habits.
That's awesome. Absolutely. And I really see you in the next year or so moving into maybe some nutritional therapy.
I would love to.
And going to a nutritional therapy association. And
By
then I'll probably have loaned you every single book I've had to read from.
Oh, listen, I'll read all these in the next 6 months. Easy. Yeah. I love it. it keeps me going. I love learning with that stuff. And then self-experimentation. I don't know about you, but I love doing a different experiments on myself. I just got a whole bunch more test strips to do to do some more. I'm curious of how I'm reacting with stevia and things like that, mm-hmm. which things that I wouldn't have thought about at the beginning of my journey, because those are really smart replacements, things that I wouldn't recommend to my clients just starting off.
Right. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. All right. So if somebody wanted to hire you, you do online coaching and in-person coaching. So if somebody wanted to hire you as a keto coach, how would they get a hold of you?
Yeah. So they can check us out. We're ketocircle.net and we're on Instagram at ketocircle, ketocircle@gmail.com. Want to email us? Yeah, we'd love to hear from you.
Right on. Awesome. So Susan and then Dave, I want to ask you as well, if you had one thing, one tip for the listeners out there, what is the one takeaway that they need to hear from you?
I was pointing to Dave.
That's a great question. I would say that not to focus on the scale, to just keep going for the long game, because it took 6 months for me to get into my groove, and now I understand it a lot more than 3 months ago.
Right on. Absolutely. I coach people. You get on the scale once a month, you know, especially at first, because you're, first of all, you're going to lose, you know, you're going to lose 10 to 15 pounds right off the bat because of the carbohydrate. When you lose those, your cells dump all that extra liquid that it's holding on to, that carbohydrates make you hold on to. And then you have to take time to lower your insulin enough where you can actually start burning fat. Because insulin is a storage hormone, right? It stores fat. And if you have high insulin, you're not going to lose any fat. It's an impossibility. So you have to bring your insulin down low enough where your body says, oh, okay, I can start burning fat now. And that's a key. And that's why if you're on the scale the first 3, 4, or 5 months and you're a really heavy person, you're not going to dump it as quick. And it's going to frustrate you. And you're going to, you know, and then if you, you know, drink a bunch of water or, you know, especially women go through a cycle, you know, they retain more water, and guys do too. They retain water. You know, you go up 4 pounds and then you're frustrated, and that's silly.
I'm super guilty of that, even though I know better. So yes, that's fantastic.
Stay off the scale. Susan?
Yes. So I think my, my one takeaway, my best advice would be, you know, you really have to, when you start something new, you have to protect your mental space. And so you want to make sure that, you know, I said I love reading and listening to things, but I'm also really careful to stay away from negativity, because that makes a huge difference in what you're doing. You have to surround yourself with positivity.
Awesome. Great tips.
Good vibes.
Awesome. Hey, great podcast. Thanks for listening to Mountain Man Nutrition. Dave and Susan, thank you for being on the show. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Hopefully I'll have more hair the next time I come back.
Awesome. All right. Hey, this is Jeffrey with Mountain Man Nutrition again. And if you like the podcast you just heard, tell a friend. Share it on Facebook, share it on Instagram, share it on Twitter, wherever you can share it, tell somebody who can benefit from it, because that's why I'm here and that's why I'm doing this podcast, is to benefit as many people as possible. Millions and millions of Americans have suffered from type 2 diabetes, insulin resistance, and continue to suffer. So if we can benefit them in any way, shape, or form with this podcast, I want to do that. So please share it with your friends. Get on iTunes and give me a 5-star rating if you liked it, 5 stars. And then write a little blog about it, or a little say something about it so other people can find it that you're not sharing it with. You know, the more people who listen, the more benefit we can do for others, and you can be a part of that. And I'm asking you to be part of that. So let's share this podcast as often as possible. Thank you very much, and good wishes to you.